Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Panning the Stream. My name is Dan Reichert, and sitting across the table from me is my wife. Her name is Bianca Reichert.
I can speak for myself, Dan.
I'm introducing you.
Yeah, thank you. Proceed.
Feel free to jump in anytime. You don't need my permission
yes,
to start talking.
Yes, I'm Bianca, and I'm sitting across from Dan, and we're here in the apartment recording the podcast like we do every week for you folks.
We do this every week. Yes, for the folks. Speaking of the folks, not going to do the whole big spiel because we introduced that last week. But hey, first week of Patreon. Thank you so much to everyone who went to patreon.com/paintingthestream and joined up. You know, the $5 a month for the ad-free, just kind of tiny little tip jar, keep the lights on type Patreon. Not a full-scale big thing, but you know what? It's fun to have some folks in there and we can comment, we can chat with people there. We've seen a lot of names that have emailed and followed us for a long time. And
a lot of long-time supporters.
A lot of them. And it's been real cool. They've been getting their bonkus over Patreon from old Bonk here as the patrons have come in, and you'll continue hearing those on the podcast, but we'll get to that later. What we get to right now is Dark.
Dark the show. It's just called Dark.
The show, Dark. You know, that's a good word. It's everyone knows what it means. It's one syllable. Mm-hmm. It's evocative. I'm surprised that you don't see that used more for like, you know, just the word itself. Like, there are games. There's, like, Dark Sector and Dark Cloud and things like that. And I'm sure movies, there got to be dark movies, right? Dark Dark Void's another game.
So, I feel like it's not really based on what we've seen of the show, which we've seen the first five episodes of the first season, I don't really think it fits. I feel like there's other titles that would have been better. I mean, like, it's not really, I mean, sure, it's a little dark, but it's more time stuff than
it's time stuff, but also like children are getting their like eyeballs and ears blasted out of their heads.
Yeah, but I mean, come on, that's another day in the US of A. I mean, kids are dying all the
time. It's not set in the US of A.
Oh, right.
No character has ever been to the USA.
Well, maybe one of them. We don't know.
We don't see it.
It's not addressed in the show if they do.
No.
But, well, separate from what happens in the show, you know, I would say on average, at least one child goes missing in the USA every day, right? I don't know.
I don't know the stats, but that would not shock me.
Mm. Anyway, yes, I too admire the simplicity of the title, although yes. I feel like there could have been other titles that were maybe more, you know, would have fit a little better. But
Time murders.
Time murders. Honestly, I would really like that.
Time kidnappings. Time snatchers.
Time snatchers.
Time snatchers would be good, wouldn't
that
it?
That is good.
It's
yeah,
about
that is good.
Kidnapping kids through time, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, one of my favorite bands, Death, is just called Death, which I find pretty ballsy of them to just be like, nope, we're the ones that are going to be called Death. And by the end, we won't even really be death metal anymore. But hey.
Do you remember when you, speaking of one word things, do you remember when you were convinced that Jerry Seinfeld stole your joke?
Okay, I was convinced, but and then people might think like, oh, what happened was I stole his joke. But the reality is, I'm pretty confident that we both came to the same conclusion about this one particular thing. It wasn't a long joke. It was just my whole thought was just that it's pretty ballsy of Quaker to call life cereal life. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's pretty. I mean, wow. Come
and
on.
In your defense, that does sound like a bonk thought slash joke. Like, I could see you coming to that on your own. But it was a really crazy thing. You ran into the room waking me up one morning because you've been watching a Jerry Seinfeld special
right.
on Netflix.
Right.
And he told that joke.
Well, yeah. So this special came out, like, I had probably tweeted out this thought, like, a year earlier. And the special came out, like 2 weeks before I was watching it that day. And so I was like, oh my God, did one of his assistants scour Twitter and find this amazing joke that I, I tweeted and stole it from me, knowing that I was a powerless person with, you know, a minuscule amount of followers and I would be, you know, there would be nothing I could do. I mean, Jerry Seinfeld is a titan of the industry.
Of course.
I mean, gee whiz. But it turns out, no, this was actually a special featuring jokes that he had been doing for his entire career.
The Seinfeld before. It's a dark-esque twist that the thing you thought he stole from you in the present was actually him in the present doing jokes from the past.
So maybe it was I that stole his joke from the past.
From possibly 1986.
Mm.
Yes. That is when some of this show takes place. I guess we'll just get right to a thing that is a reveal a couple episodes in. Time travel is involved. There is a bunch of weird things happening in the woods around, where is this, Germany?
Yes, Germany, in the small town of Winden.
Yes, this is a German show, so on Netflix it is subtitled. I think the subtitling, or sorry, not subtitled, it's dubbed. Oh my god, Razor, what the fuck are you doing, bud?
Razor's trying to make the blanket perfect on the bed. This is what he does.
The bed was completely made when we started the podcast, and now it is like the entire comforter is almost off the bed, and he's just rolling around.
It's such a comfy bed. He could lay anywhere, and it would be fine. He's a dog.
He's under the covers now. What is he doing? Oh, boy, buddy. He's not getting
that. Now he's just jumping off the bed.
Yep, that's the sound of him jumping off the bed after working on this for 10 minutes now or so.
Oh, boy.
Well, he is not getting his post-podcast TREAT.
That's right.
Anywho, Razor, where were we, bud?
We were saying that some of the show takes place in 86, some in 2019. Yeah. It involves time travel. You know, an aspect of time travel that I feel like is never really explored that I'm really curious about? Or I guess curious about is the wrong word because it is a fictional idea, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I wish a show would explore the actual act of traveling through time, like they did in Final Fantasy 13-2.
Oh.
where you could, like, go through this time cyclone and choose what year you want it to be in.
Are you like falling through a portal and you're seeing a bunch of like E equals MC squared and clocks spinning around real fast? Whoa!
From what I remember, it was a long time ago that I played that game, but from what I remember, it was just like a kind of a tunnel with like crazy, like just like a portal, kind of like you're going through a portal, mm-hmm. essentially. And there'd just be, like, rings, if I remember correctly.
Okay, and you could actually, like, there's gameplay elements of, like, being able to choose, like, is it almost like a hub?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. From what I remember, yes.
Okay.
And then, you know, there's always that thing where it's, like, time travel, you see a lot in TV and movies, it's, like, someone just, like, you know, the whole environment around them just streaks as they shoot forward or backward through time, you know
what
I mean?
Yeah, it's the warp drive thing or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, yeah. But I what does that feel like? I want to know.
I don't know if anyone knows this.
I don't know. Do you think time travel will ever be a thing? I would think that, like, maybe going into the future, but the past, I feel like that's kind of, that's crazy talk.
I feel like it's one of those things that if I started thinking about too much, or especially if I started reading about, I don't know if that's quantum something, or I don't know what quantum means. I just know that whenever quantum is put in front of something, it means it's extremely confusing.
That's actually what that word means.
It's just super confusing.
It just takes a basic concept and makes it extremely confusing.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sure there's some quantum mechanics or physics going on that would really make my head hurt if I thought about it. So I prefer to just go with the Terminator brand of time travel, where it's like, yeah, Kyle's his father. Don't think about it too much.
You know what brand of time travel I like, which is actually real time travel, is the time travel in Interstellar.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's the space stuff? Yeah, the space stuff. Like, they were on that fucking ocean planet for 2 minutes, and it was like 70 years on Earth. It's so crazy to think about.
Yeah, that movie did a really good job with that.
Yeah,
for sure.
It was a wacky, wild, fun ride of a movie.
It was. I enjoyed that one.
Matthew McConaughey as an astronaut. I didn't really buy it, though.
Yeah, maybe not so much.
I feel like my opinion on him has been distorted by all those Lincoln commercials that I'm constantly inundated with.
His career is kind of all over the map, really.
Yeah.
From much of like wacky surfer comedy.
Rom-coms
dudes
in the early 2000s. And then he kind of like established himself as a legitimate actor with True Detective and Dallas Buyers Club.
Yeah, yeah. He's good for him having a varied career, I guess.
I mean, he's obviously an amazing actor, but those Lincoln commercials, dude, calm down. It's a fucking Lincoln.
I don't know what's going on with those.
He's just really pensive in a car talking about like sanctuary and shit.
That's fun. Looking off into the middle distance. We're doing a lot of tangents. Is it middle distance or mental distance? I think it might be
mental.
I think it's middle distance.
I think it's middle distance too, because mental distance, what would that even mean?
Well, be like deep in thought, and you know, it's just like a not a literal term. I think it's middle distance.
Okay.
Yeah. Anywho, Dark. So this jumps around a whole bunch, so it'd be pretty confusing to try to follow it beat by beat. We watched the first 5 episodes on Netflix. It was a 10-episode season. I think, Bonk, you had heard that this was an anthology in terms of, do you think it's, you initially thought it was episodes, like a procedural.
For some reason, I was under the impression that this show was like a Black Mirror or, what is the name of that classic?
Twilight Zone-esque
anthology where each episode is a different thing. I have no idea why I thought that because it's super not an anthology in any capacity. Like, the subsequent season is a continuation of the story.
Season 2 is a continuation? Okay, yes. So it is just a normal show.
It's just an average run-of-the-mill show.
Time kidnapping show.
Yes. I will say the thing that makes this easier to follow than most time travel shows is, well, first of all, it's kind of centers around these few families from Winden. And it's not like it's going so far back in time that it's a bunch of mystery people that we don't know. Like, we can say, like, oh, that person is this person in 2019. You know, you make those connections that way. But it kind of, like, overlaps on itself in this weird way where it's like, I mean, we'll get to the big twist at the end of season five, but it's kind of like...
Episode five,
yeah. Right. Excuse me. It's a little weird in that I expected it to just be like, okay, you go back in time, or a person goes back in time to 86, and that starts a new timeline, like a new, like, M theory, kind of a new, what is it called? A new alternate.
Like a branch or something?
Yeah, essentially.
Yeah.
But really, it's the stuff is affecting the stuff that happens in 2019. And it's just confusing to me because you have people that should be able to recognize people that are going back in time or going forwards in time. Well, we don't know anyone that went forward yet except for that dead kid, who I assume is from 86 because he had the 80s clothes on.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah, and I know what you're saying. We'll get to it with the big twist thing, but like the timelines almost kind of fold up and overlap each other, mm-hmm. and like people that exist in like two different states in the same time period. We'll get to that in a bit. It's definitely an interesting thing to wrap your head around. But at its core, this show is about, okay, there's a power plant.
Right.
And there's a bunch of wacky stuff going on around it. Some bad stuff. And early on in the first episode, I was getting like real Stranger Things vibes. It's like, oh, it's small town, missing kid. There's like, mm-hmm. oh, is there weird corporate stuff going on? Are they doing mm-hmm. experiments at the power plant or whatever? But pretty quickly, it definitely goes into its own thing with all like time travel. And it's just like, it is just a much more kind of darker and also not leaning on the 80s. Yeah. I mean, weirdly enough, it is set in the 80s at times, but it doesn't lean on all that 80s nostalgia as hard as Stranger Things does.
Right.
Like Ghostbusters, you know?
Right. Yeah, it's a much more, I feel like, nuanced depiction of the 80s. But also, Stranger Things, I feel like, has that kind of, it's kind of something you could watch casually. Like, the plot isn't, it's pretty easy. It's really straightforward, actually. I mean, yeah. it kind of tells you step by step what is happening. Like, at any given time, this is happening. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? But this story is more something that wants us to kind of figure it out a little more and put the pieces together. You know what I mean? Like, I kind of like assume some stuff that maybe I'll speculate on, when we're done recapping. But, it feels like more we have to kind of, it's more work for the audience. It's not something you could watch casually.
Yeah, but it does some cool things where it'll let you wonder for a while, and then it'll give you kind of a satisfying, like, clearing up. Like, you know, somewhere around the middle of the stretch of episodes, you know, we're getting these time flashes back to 86 and everything, and we don't know who's who. Mm. But then, like, you know, some of these episodes end with, like, split screen, like, here is this character in the 80s. Here is who this character is in, you know, 2019, just right. to kind of remind you, like, okay, right, that's them.
Right.
And so, but it gave you enough time to have that revelation of, like, oh, that's Charlotte as a kid or
right.
whatever.
And I will say, too, just as a brief aside, the casting in the show is so good because mm-hmm. like the people who play the younger versions of their adult selves is so on the nose. Like Ulrich looks like young Ulrich looks exactly like old Ulrich, I feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most of them do really, really well with that. Like Ulrich is probably maybe the standout, I think.
Yeah.
But most of them, I think you could be like, oh, that's Hannah, that's Katarina, that's, mm-hmm. yeah. But yeah, I'll just kind of run down the main families and who
sure.
they're comprised of. So Ulrich, you mentioned, right. I would say is kind of the main character of the show. He seems to get the most screen time and like his family, or at least his family is kind of the core of what's going on here.
I mean, I would say Jonas is maybe a more significant character than Ulrich.
Yeah, he's up there too. I mean, this is kind of an ensemble. It jumps around between all these families. So,
well, Jonas, I mean, it's revealed that Jonas's father, who commits suicide, we see him committing suicide in the first episode. He actually is one of the people that goes back in time and is aware of it, like has the awareness that he went back in time, which...
Jonas?
Jonas's father, Michael.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
as he reveals in the suicide note at the end.
Right.
So I feel like that puts him closer to the mystery than anyone else. You know what I mean?
Right. Ulrich has had a lot of people close to him get wrapped up in all this stuff. But
I feel like... Sorry to interrupt you. I was just going to say, I feel like Ulrich is the centerpiece of the cycle that keeps repeating. Like, what's going on with Ulrich right now is, like, almost exactly what happened in 86.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep, and you mentioned Jonas and Michael. So let's start with them, because it is the first scene. So Michael commits suicide mm-hmm. in 2019. His son is Jonas. His widow is Hannah. And Hannah is also the mistress of Ulrich.
Right.
So the first family is the Conwald family. That's Michael and Jonas and Hannah. And then Ulrich's family is the Nielsen family. So Ulrich is a cop. So he's kind of just trying to figure out what's going on as these kids are disappearing. Because at the outset, there's already a kid missing. There's a drug dealer named Eric mm-hmm. that is missing. And we see some weird flashes. Like, he is, like, in a room having experiments done in a chair, like, repeating 80s music videos. It's very unclear when this is. And, like, we still have no idea what the fuck that's about.
We know he's alive, but we don't know what's going on there.
Yeah. So, yeah, Ulrich, cop dad. And then his wife is Katarina or Katharina. I'm not sure. I feel like they said Katarina in the show. That's his wife. She is the principal of the school in 2019. Mm-hmm. And they have three kids. They've got Mikkel, Martha, and Magnus. Mikkel is definitely the most important one here because he is the one that goes back in time very early on in the show.
Right.
And then also we learn pretty early on that Ulrich's brother Mads disappeared in 1986.
Mm-hmm.
And so all these things happen in 1986 mm-hmm. because they're big on the like 33-year thing. So right. they mention how it's... You know, I think episode 4 or something, they mentioned how it's like lunar cycles. It's like that's how long it takes for, I don't know, some moon thing to happen, basically. It's like every 33 years something's refreshed or whatever. I don't know. So I don't know if that's actually going to play into why it's exactly every 33 years of like timelines repeating each other.
Mm-hmm.
But we haven't really seen anything from like, what would it be, 1953? We haven't heard anything from 53 or, you know, 33 years past 2019. So it's like we are pretty locked in. Even though, like, there's a lot of references to things happening over and over and over and over again,
mm-hmm.
so far we've only seen 86 and 19, which I think that could be a fun thing. I kind of hope, you know, going forward that maybe we can see far into the future or way back to the 50s and see what happened before that. Maybe that's another season. Like,
yeah, I feel like adding another timeline will make things very, you know, pretty dense. But, you know, and also... I noticed that we really only see people getting brought back in time. Like, we haven't, unless that boy, that mystery dead boy, oh, I guess he is from the 80s, right?
Okay, so that's the assumption here because...
He has 80s clothes.
Yeah, because very early on, Mikkel, Ulrich's son, goes missing after, like, they basically all went to try to find the missing kid's drug stash because he was a drug dealer and they're trying to find it in the woods where he was last seen. And Mikkel disappears. And so cops are looking for him, I think it's the second episode, and they come across a body of a kid about that age, and everyone just kind of assumes, oh, that must be Mikkel. And so Ulrich is like prepared, like, oh God, I'm going to see my dead kid. But then he like brushes the leaves and stuff away, and first of all, it's grotesque, like his eyes are just blown out, like not just the eyes, it's like if a sleep mask had a strong adhesive, and then when you took it off, it took all your skin off with it, you know? And then also the eardrums are ruptured, which is a recurring thing. And so, Ulrich's like, shit, that's not my kid. And so there's soil on the kid's clothes, which the clothes are from 1986. There's like red soil on it. He had a Walkman on him. So we don't know who this kid is. But yeah, that probably is, as far as we've seen, the only one that's gone forward in time.
Right? Maybe it's harder on their tiny little bodies to go forward than backward.
Yeah, well, we saw some blown out eardrums.
Yeah, that's true. It seems like it's not necessarily a product of the time travel thing. It's just some mystery that we don't know about yet.
Have we seen humans get their stuff blown out like that in the 80s? Because there are weird things that are happening. It's not just kidnappings.
Right.
Like at one point in the 80s, there's like 33 sheep. That are all their eardrums are fucked up, and we see it happening to birds both in the 80s and the current day. So, like, but I don't know if we've seen any humans get fucked up like that in the 80s.
Mm.
That's always been present day,
right?
Huh,
yeah,
I'm not sure.
We don't know what the deal is with those ruptured eardrums or anything yet, so hopefully.
No.
But I will say too, like, I noticed that there's really no one in this show so far. That is, like, a good person. I mean, like, or not, I mean, they seem realistic, right? They seem, like, well-rounded, you know. Some are shittier than others. But at some point in every character's arc in these first five episodes, they've done something that made them, like, you know, kind of made me question their morals or whatever.
I think most, I know what you're saying, because like Ulrich's cheating, Hannah's cheating. I guess Katarina's kind of just a victim throughout this whole thing. Hannah also, we see Hannah as a child falsify a rape to put Ulrich away.
Yeah, that is an incredibly shitty thing to do.
Yeah, I think Katarina and Jonas, I can't think of anything exceptional, but I know what you mean. It's kind of got that Breaking Bad thing.
Well,
of like,
I mean, Jonas did make out with Martha after, like, you know, it's been established that Martha and Bartosz are dating.
That's right. So Bartosz is Jonas's friend, and right. like Jonas had to go away from school for a while after his father committed suicide, and when he came back, Martha was dating his friend Bartosz.
Right. Which, so that's kind of shitty of Bartosz too.
Yeah, but I know what you mean. It's got that Breaking Bad thing of just kind of like, oh, this is a really interesting kind of grim story, right. and also it's kind of hard to root for. Well, I mean, that was the whole point of Breaking Bad, right? Is that like Walter's a sympathetic character, and then right. he breaks bad, and suddenly it's like, oh, he's a monster.
Yeah.
Here, everyone's just kind of like low key, maybe shitty.
Right. And I'm less interested in seeing some character or another get his or her due. I'm more interested in unraveling this weird yes. mystery.
Speaking, actually, of characters that are probably on the better end of things here, the Doppler family. So Charlotte Doppler is the police chief. Mm-hmm. And I think so far, she's good across the board, right?
Yeah, I agree, yeah.
Hardworking, smart lady.
Drawing dead birds when she's a kiddo.
Yep. Charlotte's, she's one of my favorite characters. So she is the police chief in the present day. She's married to Peter, who is a psychologist. I think he's Jonas's psychologist. And things are not going well marriage-wise. It seems like he's a closeted gay man, and it's caused a big rift in the marriage and everything.
As it would.
Yes, yeah, they're sleeping in separate bedrooms, all that stuff. And so they've got kids. They've got Fran. It's spelled crazy. Like I don't know how to pronounce it. It's Franziska. We'll just say Franziska. We'll say Fran. She's the teenager, and then Elizabeth, who is a deaf younger girl. And I wonder here. Do you think the deafness is ever touched upon? Like, are they going to do something where it's like, oh, she had a little time hiccup and it kind of blew out her eardrums?
Oh, interesting.
I was kind of wondering if that's going to be back half of the season, or it could just be coincidence that she's just deaf.
That's true. It could be a coincidence, but that is an interesting idea.
Yeah, we've seen some ear stuff going on here.
Yeah.
But there's also some weirdness here that Peter claimed he was not, like, driving or not out during the night of Mikkel's disappearance. Mm-hmm. But Charlotte at one point takes a nature camera, a wildlife camera, and sees what's clearly his car.
Right.
And he was driving, like, near the area.
During the time when he said he was at the office.
Yeah, so I'm curious if this is all going anywhere.
Like, yeah, you know, so she's like, you know, if you were, just tell me if you were involved in the disappearance. Like, she doesn't want to know if he was cheating on her, whatever. She just wants to know if he was involved in these kids' disappearance. And he really can't give a straight answer, which is weird.
Right.
He just kind of walks away and calls her, like, crazy or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And also his dad, Helga, is this guy we see several times, and he's always just kind of escaping a old folks' home, talking about how everything, it's going to happen again, it's going to happen mm-hmm. again. So we don't really know what the deal is with him yet. I have a feeling that's going to be something
yeah.
big-ish, right?
The one thing, based on the reveal at the end of the fifth season, one thing I suspect is that the characters that we don't know who they are, like mm-hmm. the hooded guy and Noah, I suspect that they actually are people that we already know.
That's what I think, too. Yeah, I think any older person that we have not... Well, I mean, like, we know who Helga is. We know it's Peter's dad. But, like, is that someone that we saw in the 80s? Or, like, Mads. Mads is a big mystery here. Because Mads, Ulrich's brother, disappeared in 86. And as far as we've seen, we don't know what happened to him. And we don't think we've seen him in 2019,
yeah.
But we easily could have and just not know it.
I mean, he could be that boy, the dead boy. I mean, maybe Ulrich didn't recognize his younger brother because, well, first of all, it's been 33 years. And also because, like, half of his face was missing, you know?
Yeah, but there's also that weird thing where when Mikkel goes back to the 80s, he finds a picture in his, what is normally his home, mm-hmm. but now it's, like, filled with younger versions of his family, mm-hmm. That says... Mads and wait, what is it? It says Ulrich and Mads, right? But it's a picture of Mikkel.
It looks like Mikkel.
So, like, yeah. So, did he go back and then somehow everybody was somehow thought that he was? Does he resemble Mads?
I'm trying to figure out how that works into what we already know about Mikkel. Like, I'll just say here, Mikkel is Michael. Mikkel is the Jonas's father who committed suicide.
Yes.
So, if that was Mikkel slash Michael in that picture with Ulrich, like, how does that work? Because the timeline that we see Mikkel as a kid with kid Ulrich is one in which kid Ulrich tells Mikkel to get the hell away. You know what I mean? Kind of outright rejects him as just some weird boy who wandered into his house.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think,
are you positive that it was Mikkel in that photo?
I'm not positive, but I remember if it was not him, it was definitely, like, it seems intentionally looked a lot like him.
Okay.
So we don't know. Maybe Mads and him have a huge resemblance. Maybe, is there a chance they're the same person? Like, it's really... unclear there. So yeah,
if it is like a cycle that loops back around itself, theoretically, there could be multiple of the same people just in existing in the same year, just at different phases of their life in the same year. You know what I mean?
Which we saw that with Michael and Mikkel, because we definitely had Mikkel the child.
Yes, exactly, exactly.
And then he was also the Jonas's father killing himself in middle age.
Mm-hmm.
So like those two humans existed, even though they were the same human.
Right.
But yeah, like the old one that, okay, I remember I was trying to wrap my head around this. So Innes is the nurse.
Innes
is the nurse when Mikkel goes back to the 80s.
Right.
She kind of finds him. Because, like, he goes back to the 80s, and everyone's like, who the fuck is this kid? Like, cops don't know.
Oh, I think I should just say this real quick. Definitively, we could say Innes is a great lady. I mean, clearly she seems to be a wonderful lady.
Raised this kid and everything. But, like, Innes, so her name was, what family is this? This is the Conwald. So Innes, how do you say it?
I always thought of it as Innes.
Okay, Innes.
But maybe they say it differently in German, but
okay.
I don't know.
So it's Innes Conwald. And so she takes Mikkel in, changes his name to Michael Conwald. And so that forms this whole family here, like Jonas Conwald and everything, mm-hmm. even though he's an Ulrich.
Right.
You know what
he's
I mean?
He's a Nielsen,
or
yeah.
He's an Ulrich. He's a Nielsen, yeah. So it's just kind of hard to, like, picturing the family tree is really interesting here.
Yeah, it's interesting how this is building, like, all these different blocks or puzzle pieces are falling into place. And I'm just really curious how they're going to resolve a lot of this stuff. Or if they even, you know, if it is actually resolved at the end of the season. But, you know, just what answers we're going to get.
Yeah, I try to think of the biggest mysteries. I think number one, well, obviously what's going on, but like I think with shows like this, that's usually kind
number
of
one
like,
mystery. What's going on?
Yeah, what's the deal? You know, that can be disappointing because it's like, I don't know, I don't need to hear about how, oh, they were doing time experiments with electricity at the power plant and it made a time rift happen. Like,
Yeah. Do you remember when we saw, what was that really shitty movie that we saw? It was a sequel to a movie that was actually decent. It was that movie where it's like Groundhog Day. Happy Death Day.
Yeah, I didn't like the second one at all.
Yeah, the first one was, like, enjoyable. You know, it was a fun, silly movie. And then the second one felt the need to, like, explain everything, and it was just so fucking dumb. But
yeah.
So I just wrote down some remaining questions that I have after watching these first five episodes.
Okay.
So my first question is, who is the young boy in the 80s outfit that they found in 2019 after Mikkel disappeared? That's still a question. We don't know.
Yeah, is that... Mads.
It could be Mads.
Did they swap? Did Mads and Mikkel switch places, basically?
Yeah, that it could totally be, but we don't know yet.
And again, well, you know, it would make sense that Ulrich wouldn't recognize him in 2019 because, A, he would would not expect his brother to look like a child,
right.
And B, his fucking face was blown
exactly,
off, you know?
Exactly.
So that would actually make sense.
Yeah. My other question is, like, what's going on with Eric, the first boy that disappeared that we never really saw outside of his current circumstances, which is him being in a weird room, being strapped to some chair, and, like, Clockwork Orange style, being forced to watch some weird 80s shit.
Yeah.
So what is the deal with that? And then another question is that hooded time guy, the guy that's, you know, this hooded, mangy-looking guy who seems to actually know what's going on and being kind of cryptic about things. Like, I suspect that he's someone we're already familiar with, just, you know, an older version of someone we're already familiar with, but I'm not sure who.
He looks kind of like Norman Reedus in Death Stranding. And
and he travels with that huge case, too.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. He's got to make sure he's balancing it right and peeing. But does he exist in both timelines? Because I feel like we've definitely seen him in 2019 because he checks into the hotel that Bartosz's mom owns and everything. So we've definitely seen him in 2019. Have we seen him in the 80s?
We haven't seen him in the 80s, but we have seen Noah in both timelines looking identical.
Okay, so Noah is the priest.
Right.
And so Noah talks to an injured Mikkel in the hospital in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And Noah also is in 2019, like setting up a drug deal with Bartosz.
Right. I mean, I think that was just a way to meet him and say whatever to him. Like, we don't know yet what was discussed. And Noah also spoke to Elizabeth for a long time and gave her this watch that belonged to her mom.
Yeah, and the way Charlotte, her mom, responded, it definitely seemed like she recognized it.
Right.
And so Charlotte Doppler, at points here, she's starting to kind of piece it together that there are connections between the 33 years thing.
Mm-hmm.
She's seen the bird stuff. She remembers that. It's so many, you know, things happened in line with that 33-year thing. So I think Charlotte's probably the closest one to, like, figuring some shit out here.
Yeah.
Ulrich's trying, but I think he is just so, like, fucked up from, like...
I mean, I don't blame him. He's really, like, he is not in a good situation. His son is missing. His, you know, his relationship with his wife is not going so well, you know. Obviously his own doing, but, yeah, so. Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously we have a lot of looming questions about the mystery of the show, but just... if I were to just ask another question, it would be like the ruptured eardrum stuff. Like, what is going on with the animals specifically that have the ruptured eardrums?
Yeah. And, well, I wonder if it is some sort of, like, device or whatever. Because we see, like, the time – I'll just call him the time killer, the guy in the cloak or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He gets all these weird devices. He's got this weird clock machine that he has in the hotel. And also he meets up with Jonas and tells him, like, hey, your father saved my life one time.
Mm-hmm.
And then does he give him – like, there are those two weird devices.
He sends him.
Yeah, it's like a giant PlayStation Move ball from that lights up from the top of the controller. And then, like, a Ghostbusters trap, like a Geiger counter thing.
Yeah, and his father's suicide note.
Yes, that mentions the November 4th thing, and that's where we get the reveal about it being Mikkel.
Mikkel being Mikkel. Yeah, it's obviously unclear what the source of all this is, but I suspect strongly that it has something to do with the power plant. And in the 80s, we see Regina's mother. Regina, in 2019, is the owner of the hotel, and she's Bartosz's mom.
Yeah.
We see her as a kid, and her mother just assumed the position of, like, director of the power plant, and subsequently she has become familiar with this huge secret that the power plant is harboring some, you know, it's unclear what it is, some kind of nuclear waste, I don't know.
There's a bunch of barrels.
Hiding this huge amount of barrels in the Winden Caves. So I think it's safe to say that that has something to do with what's going on.
Oh, yeah. And there's even that scene where they're kind of like Ulrich and Mikkel are kind of talking to each other through time, through the door.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
That
so
was,
like,
can you imagine how frustrating that must be?
Oh, my God. Yeah. There's some sort of like time rift happening beyond that door, which I think is a fun mystery. Also, how weird is it to think that, like, okay, so we just saw in one of the last episodes we watched Mikkel in the 80s, meets child Hannah.
Right.
And they kind of hit it off. And obviously we find out in the future he has married her and started a family with her at the same time that his brother / father, right? Because Ulrich is Mikkel's brother and father.
Is having
an affair with Hannah.
Yeah.
This is super fucked.
Yeah. It is a whole thing. I kind of like it, though. It's interesting how all this stuff is overlapping with itself, like, and how all these families are intertwined and stuff.
Yeah, I didn't even realize, like, because, you know, we try not to talk about stuff too much, like, as we're watching it, because we try to save it for the podcast. Mm-hmm. But even just in kind of talking this out with you here, I've just realized so many other little questions and fun wrinkles it's brought up and everything that, like, you know, I try not to get my hopes up too much with a show like this, where it, like, has all these tantalizing mysteries and stuff, because I get fucking lost, burn me so fucking hard on that, that, like, every time I start getting excited about some big, crazy, like, kind of sci-fi-ish story or something like this, it's just going to be fucking lost again. But as far as I know,
I think... It was all a dream.
Right. I just beat Link's Awakening, and that was all a dream. That was a good ending, though. So, yeah, I just hope it pays off, and I wonder, like, now that you say that Season 2 is the same story... I kind of wish it wasn't, because I would love for this to be kind of this self-contained season where we tied up the whole story at the end of the first one, and then maybe we do a different story in that universe.
I agree, because then I feel like we would be looking forward to definitive answers or closure, whatever that means, even if that is kind of an ambiguous ending where we'd have to put the pieces together ourselves. But remember, this is dealing with a 33-year cycle, so maybe it is the same story, but it's a different set of years, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it would be kind of a completely new story for us that would just resemble, some beats would resemble what we're already familiar with, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If it is this cycle that repeats. So it could be different, you know? Or it could just build upon, and like you said earlier, maybe it'll introduce like a 1950s timeline.
That could be, that'd be a fun way to handle it, I think.
Yeah, that'd
be
cool.
The three things I want to get answered by the end of the season, though, are what's up with Noah?
Yes.
What's up with the Time Killer? And who's the 80s kid?
The Time Killer?
The weird Norman Reedus guy.
Oh,
the cloak guy. And who's the 80s kid? But also, they did just introduce I guess at this point, there are at least 4, maybe 5 missing children in this show. There is Eric, the drug dealer.
Right.
There is Mikkel. There is Mads, mm-hmm. although technically, who knows, maybe they're the same person. There was...
Yasin.
Yasin, which that's the newest one we saw.
Yeah, that's Elizabeth's... boyfriend.
Yeah, and then 80s kid.
80s kid, which could be one of those missing boys.
Yeah, but... I mean, maybe there could be 3, but up to 5 or something. But, like, there's a lot of kids disappearing.
Yeah.
And most of them are in 2019 when they disappear.
Right.
Drug dealer, Mikkel,
except for
Yasin, and... Oh, right. So I guess 80s kid and Mads are the 2.
Yeah, and it's interesting that no women or girls are getting... you know, lost in this time warp. I don't know if that's, if there's a reason for that or if it just happened that way.
Well, I guess if it is supposed to be like the same thing repeating itself through time.
That's true. That's a good point.
Same-ish age, you know. Well, I don't know. Eric seems a bit older than like Mikkel, right?
Yeah.
He's a drug dealer. And like Mikkel seems like a child, you know?
Yeah, he does.
And so does Yasin.
Yeah. You know what's unclear to me? When they go back in 86, young Hannah, looks so much younger than young Katarina
and
young Ulrich. So I was kind of wondering, like, are they, like, they could be in, like, 8th grade? Because that would explain why Hannah looks so young. And because when I feel like 8th grade is kind of a point where, like, most people are going to look, like, kind of starting to, you know, hit puberty and stuff, but there might be some stragglers. But then also, I feel like Ulrich and Katarina look way more like they're in high school than they're in middle school, you know what
I mean? They do, yeah. Hannah seems like a child.
But then Hannah, at one point in the car, is looking down at her chest and probably, like, wishing, like, oh, I wish I had more womanly figures so that Ulrich would like me or whatever.
Right.
But, yeah, it's. I guess that's really. I mean, of all the mysteries in the show, how old they are is not a big one, but
yeah. But I think it's done a really good job in this first half of the season of kind of laying the groundwork for the mysteries. And I know we don't normally announce on the podcast what we're doing the next week, but definitely we'll be covering the back half of Dark. And tune in next week if you would like to hear our thoughts on how this all ends.
Yes.
So any final thoughts on Dark? I'm liking it.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it. I feel like it has a really subtle way of storytelling that I don't know if it's because it's a German production. Maybe I'm just thinking that because I don't see a lot of German productions.
Yeah.
But it's really well done. It's subtle. It's not it's not laying things out in an obvious way. And I appreciate that it assumes that we have some modicum of intelligence that we're able to follow what's going on.
That we're paying attention and really kind of thinking about this and without it having to beat us over the head with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, it's funny you say that because you and I both experienced watching an episode. We're watching this for the podcast, obviously. And like we happened to watch it once when I was like super tired. So I fell asleep like at the last quarter of the episode. And then you were like, I was asking asking questions while we were watching the second episode, and you were like, this is a really obvious big deal that happened in the first episode. How did you miss this?
Yeah, you don't remember that giant thing where they explained this or showed it? Yeah.
And then yesterday we were watching the fifth episode, and you fell asleep too.
Yes.
It's not the show's fault. We were just tired. So.
Yeah. I'm really liking it a lot. Looking forward to the back half. This is the fun type of thing to think about and talk about. So we will be back next week for sure with Dark episodes 6 through 10 on Netflix. So that'll be it for this week. Again, cannot thank you enough. The folks that have signed up for the Patreon. Again, it's patreon.com/paintingthestream or paintingthestream.com redirects to it. $5 a month, it'll get you the ad-free podcast. You'll get a custom RSS link you can plug into your favorite app.
Mm-hmm.
No ads. Also, you will get a Bonku. And just to clarify, I know we've said it before, but if anyone signed up for the old Anchor listener support program, there are still some Bonkus that need to be read from there. And also, if you prefer to go with them, all that still applies.
Right.
You will get your Bonku and everything. And we are going in order. So we're not going to leave anyone behind here. We got a decent amount of Patreon supporters here. So maybe a while before you get it read on the air.
Yeah, and the people that are listening that support, I said this in the message that I wrote to you guys, just know that it might be a while till you hear the Bonku read, so that's why I wanted to reach out and send it to you guys individually ahead of time, so you can get it embroidered on your fucking,
tattooed on your back like the Time Killer.
Dish rags or whatever.
Cursive. Yeah.
So I wanted to take some time to pay homage to our supporter and friend and listener, Keegan. Which is a very fun name to say. It's the kind of name that you can only say with an exclamation point at the end. Keegan.
It's a good name. I have a weird association with it. And Keegan, our supporter, I'm not meaning to say this has anything to do with the name. You are probably not like this at all. But I had a friend named Keegan in fifth grade, and he would come over, and we would play Descent on the PC.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember he would always cross his legs with his socks on, and so his foot would be up by the keyboard. And it was the smelliest fucking thing I had ever smelled in my life. So I loved playing Descent, but goddamn it, Keegan's foot was just the worst shit.
Kids can be so unhygienic. They just don't know yet. Especially around fifth, sixth grade when puberty is starting to happen. And you just don't know that you smell all of a sudden.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's bad.
Anywho, Keegan,
this Keegan is a man about town. He knows a thing or two about cleaning himself. All right, Keegan, this is the Bonku that I wrote for you, and I hope you enjoy it. There would be no time for Keegan to consider a second option.
There would be no time for Keegan to consider a second... Ooh, that's good.
There you go.
I like it.
Keegan's, he has a limited time. The clock's running out. He has to think, which wire do I cut? The whole world, this whole city will be fucked if I don't cut the right wire.
It's a Sean Archer situation.
Yeah, it is a Sean Archer situation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Keegan, and thank you, everyone, through listener support and through the Patreon. This is our first experience with Patreon, so I didn't even think about the aspect of, you can do, comments and stuff in there. So, yeah, if people are in the Patreon leaving comments and stuff, we'll jump in there. We'll see all that stuff.
Yeah.
I'd love to have little chats with the folks in there. It's, just kind of a fun little group. Obviously, this is not this massive, giant podcast. This is a fun, kind of tight-knit little group,
mm-hmm.
little mom-and-pop podcast. And so we'll be in there. We'll see your messages, and we'll pop in and comment.
And there might be some fun surprise stuff that we do for supporters from time to time.
As I'm playing around with Patreon and just seeing what's possible, there are some obvious ones that I think we'll definitely do at some point,
mm-hmm.
where it's like, hey, do you guys want to vote on what we're watching next? Mm-hmm. Here are three options, and we'll go with that. So the thing we promise for sure, ad-free podcast and a Bonku. But we're definitely going to play around with that stuff. So if you're liking the podcast and you want to help us keep the lights on, check out paintingthestream.com and chip in.
Yeah, thanks so much, people. We really appreciate it.
We do. It's made us really happy every time we've seen someone come in. So that'll be it for this week. If you want to email us any suggestions or comments, anything at all, paintingthestream@gmail.com. If you want to follow us on Twitter and find out what we're going to watch before we watch it so you can watch along with us, go to twitter.com/, you don't have to say twitter.com, you can just say at paintingthestream on Twitter. And
it would have saved time if you just continued saying Twitter.
It would have, but it just sounds stupid to say go to twitter.com/pandthestream. Just
say at
pandthestream or say pandthestream on Twitter.
I don't think it sounds stupid.
No?
No.
Okay, well.
Because at could be like Instagram,
That's true. http:////
Isn't it forward slash?
I don't know, and I've never known which one's which.
Yeah, I think the top points forward and forward slash. Isn't it http?
You can try it both ways. I would hope it would work either way. Or just type in pandthestream. Scream on Twitter, and you'll find us and can watch stuff along with us. But that'll be it. Thanks to Tom Monda for the theme song.
Thanks, bro.
Yeah.
Thank you, Scientists, T-Club, and Bette Nee going on tours during November in National Tour. Check them out.
Check them out. Might be coming through your neck of the woods. As for us, we are out of here. Thanks, Bonk.
Thanks, Stonk.
Thanks to everyone listening, and we will see you all next week.
Bye.